Hey, everybody. Thank you, Charlie Kirk Show. Paula Scanlon, swimmer who was a teammate of Mr. Thomas, and she's a great person, joins the program. And then we have Chloe Hopp, who joins us about a lawsuit. Very important conversations. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. It was a buried news item. We've been covering so many things. This is critically important. Is Joe Biden has just abolished Title IX as we know it. Now sex equals gender identity. I'm reading from Riley Gaines' tweet. In a nutshell, the new rewrite means men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Men will have full access to bathrooms, locker rooms, etc. Men could be housed in dorm rooms with women, and student and faculty must compel their speech by requiring the use of preferred pronouns. If the guidelines above are ignored or even questioned, then you could be charged with harassment. Joining us now is a very courageous woman, Paula Scanlon, who is a former teammate of Mr. Thomas at the University of Pennsylvania swim team. Paula, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Paula, tell us about, first, introduce yourself, your experience swimming for UPenn, and when you were first introduced to this character named Thomas.
Yeah, so obviously I swam at the University of Pennsylvania. Interestingly enough, we were first told about the fact that a member of the men's team, going by Will, was going to be joining the women's team in the fall of 2019. We had a team meeting where he stood in front of the entire women's team and said, "I am transgender. I will be transitioning to your team next season. Please refer to me with she, her pronouns." At the time, he was still going by William. So we had to call somebody named William with she, her pronouns. It was incredibly confusing. And so obviously COVID happened, this gets delayed, he takes a gap year, and this becomes a reality in the fall of 2021. And obviously before that, we were told by our coaching staff that they would consider the locker room, they would consider other accommodations. And of course, in the fall of 2021, when we go to start the season, he has a locker just like everybody else, and nobody said anything about it. We had to just act like he was simply another woman in the locker room, another normal female athlete on the team, when obviously nothing was normal because he is 6'4" tall, towering over us, deep voice. He's actually taller than anyone on the men's team as well. So he was the tallest person on both the men's and the women's team. And so just, again, completely ridiculous situation. And we were all told by the university, if we objected to this, that we needed to seek psychological services and we needed to seek help if we continued to object.
Yeah, so can you explain that more? So when you appealed to your elders that there was a biological man that's allowed in your intimate changing spaces, what was their reaction? And just to be very clear, he was dressing fully as a biological man naked in front of other girls. Is that correct?
Yeah, he would completely undress. I mean, I was fortunate enough to have a locker that was in a separate section of the locker room, so I saw him less than some of my teammates did. One of my really close friends had the locker next to him. And the first day in the locker room, back when the season begins, she says, "I'm not doing this." There's a single stall family bathroom out in the hallway. And she changed there every single practice. She would take her stuff out, walk herself outside and change. And again, the university, when she went to the coaches herself and she was like, "This has to be a joke. There's no way my locker is next to a fully grown man." Our coaches and the administration told us, "There's nothing we can do about this. You have to get on board. These are the policies. If you want to be part of this team, this is what you have to put up with." And at every single stage, the administrators would tell us that we were in the wrong. They told us if we ever spoke against it, that we would be on the wrong side of history. They told us this is the next civil rights movement. And if we speak out against it, it'll be equivalent to, you know, supporting segregation in this country and other things like that. It was just completely ridiculous. And every single stage, anyone said anything, we were immediately told we were hateful, bigoted. And we also had LGBT representatives continually meeting with our team and telling us that if we objected to this, we were, again, part of the problem. We were hurting a marginalized community. All of the things that they say on these college campuses.
Well, yeah, men and women should have segregated spaces, especially when you change, actually, because male-female differences matter where racial differences don't matter. That's like a very easy answer to these.
Exactly. Dynamics. And what's so interesting to me, though, is that now the Biden administration is saying, if I want to call Leah Thomas a man, that's sexual harassment. How is it not sexual harassment to have a fully grown man undressing in front of multiple girls, some of which are freshly graduated from high school, 17, 18 years old?
So I brought this topic up yesterday on campus, and the trans zealots say, but Charlie, it doesn't matter. Why are women so violated by a naked man? That's their answer. Just so we're clear, I want the audience to understand this. And Paula, it's hard for you to even, you know, reply to this. The trans zealots say, well, what's the big deal? Like, why are you afraid to change next to a naked man?
Yeah. And so interestingly, I mean, I always say to them, and it's something over 90% of people that commit assault are male and over 90% of victims are female. That statistic alone should show us why it's so important for them to be separated. I don't understand why we've given up on that. I know like the Me Too movement was screaming back in the day, what, like 8 years ago when they started. Where are they? None of them are saying anything. They only care about sexual assault if it somehow gets their Supreme Court pick into power, right? They don't care about the locker room. They don't care about young girls. We actually went on training trip. This is a really ridiculous story. We went on training trip to a facility in Florida. And Leah Thomas was changing in the women's room, and there were 4 and 5 year old age group swimmers changing at the same facility. A 6 foot 4 tall, 22-year-old man, fully intact with male genitalia, is undressing next to a 4 and 5 year old girl or 4 and 5 age group girl. I didn't ask her for her age, but that is about how old she looked. How are we doing this? And I bet her parents didn't even know we were training there.
So there's now been recent revelations that Mr. Thomas is kind of a perv based on his social media. Did you see any evidence of that or when he was your teammate?
So he was actually dating a member of the women's team before he transitioned. So I honestly have no idea really what that was like because I never really inquired about their, you know, whatever they were up to. But definitely it was very clear at the very least that this person is attracted to women, right? And that's the part where a lot of people are like, we know that this person enjoys women that way. So why is he invited into the locker room? And I think that was really what a lot of people took issue with.
Yeah. And your leaders and the elders, the University of Pennsylvania, by the way, it's not just University of Pennsylvania. I mean, they should be torched to the ground, but it's hundreds of schools and high school districts right now where girls have to change amongst boys, basically eradication of all male, female distinctions. Male-female separation. I want to, first of all, thank you for your courage to speak out against this. Before I get into the Biden thing a little deeper, I'm positive there were other teammates that still feel the way you do. Would you say that it was a majority of your teammates that felt wildly uncomfortable, but also felt that this was unjust, that there was a biological man competing in the woman's category?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say probably 80% of my teammates agreed that this was wrong to some extent, whether the competition part bothered them more or the locker room part bothered them more, or that kind of varied person to person. But what I will say is nobody wanted to talk about it. When the administration started coming in and having mandatory meetings with us and telling us again, our behavior is bad if we object to this, we're on the wrong side of history, all of those things. A lot of girls didn't even want to have conversations even amongst ourselves on a one-on-one conversation. They wouldn't want to talk about the situation. And again, to this day, none of my other teammates have publicly spoken about this. There have been a few that have signed petitions and a few girls that have reached out to me and said, I support what you're doing. But for the most part, people on that team did not want to talk about it because, again, all the threats, they told us that we're not going to get a job. We're never going to have a job if we speak against
right. I mean, yeah, I hate to be this is going to get misunderstood, but we finally found the one thing that women don't want to talk about. mean, because look, women talk about everything, right? And this is the what? Like, no, I mean, I mean that as it's just the way it is. It's, I mean that as a compliment. And this is like chilling silence. I mean, even in your with your friends group, you're going out to dinner with your teammates. This was verboten, like not allowed. No one talking about it.
Yeah, and no. So I had a friend who swam for Yale, who I knew from age four, growing up swimming. I texted her and I said, "Hey, you know, like, what are you guys making of this situation? Like, this is really hard." She texted me back, "Don't talk to me." I had known this person for like 20 years of my life, like, and she said, "Don't talk to me."
Well, first of all, just Paula, you're a courageous person. We need more people like that. This is what's very important: is that you cease to be good if you're not courageous. Period. And Riley Gaines and Paula Scanlon are courageous people, and they're good people. It doesn't matter if your teammates agree with you if they're not willing to speak out. Yeah, you might get a nice corporate job at some data center so that you get to crunch numbers, but like, what good is that? Paula, you're a hero for speaking out. I just want to diagnose how sick this country is. Here you have women that have to change next to biological men. They appeal to their leaders and the people that are tasked with protecting them, and they say, "Shut up! You're going to be a racist, a segregationist." Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. You might be wondering why some of my age is talking to you about an organization that's been associated with older generation. And no, I don't mean the radical AARP. It's because preserving the foundation of our nation and promoting conservative values isn't just for seniors. It's for all Americans, regardless of age. That's why I want to talk to you about the other organization, AMAC. Yes, they champion issues that are critical to the senior community, but their mission and impacts go way beyond that, offering incredible benefits and opportunities for conservatives of every age. Joining AMAC means you aren't only supporting advocacy for older Americans, you're also becoming part of a larger movement to protect our freedoms and ensure our nation endures for generations to come. Plus, here's the fun part, you'll enjoy member-only benefits and discounts on things like travel, food, theme parks, movie tickets, special car insurance rates, and more. The bottom line is that our fight for conservative values need fresh energy and wisdom and experience. So whether you're young and looking to make a difference or a seasoned patriot with an undying passion for freedom, AMAC is your home. Join today at amac.us/Kirk. Go and get a membership for your parents too and your grandparents for only $16 a year. It's the best way to play a crucial role in securing the future for all Americans. Do not wait. Join AMAC now at amac.us/Kirk. So Paula, let's get into the details here of this Title IX decision. Kind of just take a big picture view. Walk us through the details and what does this now mean? Essentially, it is the eradication of male-female distinctions. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. In the thing, they're basically saying now sex is equivalent to gender identity, which before these crazy trans activists would say, well, sex and gender identity are two different things. No, now they've taken the physical sex thing and taken it to be their own. I think that is the biggest thing
that
here.
So
and with
important.
That,
yep,
it is. And again, this is why we can't give our language. You can't give them a single thing. You can't be polite with the pronouns. You can't give them an inch because now they're taking over and they're saying you can change your sex. You can't change your sex. Every single cell in your entire body has a sex. They, you know what it is. And it's so dangerous. I'm not sure if you saw this, but Dylan Mulvaney was able to change his passport to say that he is female. His sex is female on his passport now. How is that not horrifying that we can completely change reality? Why are we not allowing people to be trans race now? Like, remember Rachel Dolezal? Justice for her, because everyone else is able to do the same stuff now, just with sex.
Well, that's right.
So I think that really is the biggest part.
Well, and this is what's important, is that not every activist has received the memo. Yesterday at the University of Utah, we do our open debate stuff. And one of the trans zealots said, no, sex never changes. It's gender that changes. I said, I don't think you're really up to speed here. They said, oh, no, sex is never going to change. Sex is permanent. It's biological. And so that they're operating under an outdated memo, where the new memo says, no, you can actually fundamentally change sex. And that's where they've always been headed, everybody. And we have conceded on pronouns. We've conceded, and we shouldn't concede on it, okay? You can't change, period. You are how you are born. As you say, every cell is coded either XX or XY. We didn't know that until the Human Genome Project. We now know that. So Paula, in further detail here, let's talk about the punishment. If you mispronoun somebody, misgender them, or if you don't allow men to go into female locker rooms, you could be charged with harassment. Is that right?
Yes. And again, I said this earlier, the first part of the segment. Why is it not considered sexual harassment to have men undressing in front of women? That is fine. That's acceptable. That's totally normal, being flashed by males. But if I say he, or if I don't respect somebody's pronouns, whatever it might be, and there's now people who their pronouns change by the day, or they identify as animals, how am I even supposed to keep track of that? Like, what if I just don't know what they want from that specific day, and somehow I can now be charged with sexual harassment, and professors can be charged with sexually harassing their students in their classes if they, again, call on somebody accidentally and call them the wrong pronoun.
I hope everyone understands this. Go back in time. Jordan Peterson fought this very same thing back at the beginning of his career. Americans, liberals, were laughing at Jordan. This will never happen here. Forced speech, Jordan. And now it's here. So if a professor misgenders a man who might identify as a female wrongly because of their mental issues, then you could be slapped with harassment. And so Joe Biden really enjoys support from female voters. So Paula, I'm just curious, why are women generally so agreeable to the eradication of women?
It's something I keep asking myself. I mean, truly at this point, if you are a woman and you are voting for Joe Biden, please reconsider all the benefits you used to previously have in this country being a woman. You will not have those things any longer. Now, anyone who identifies as a woman can reap those benefits again, right? With this new ruling, they can take your academic scholarships away. They can take the athletic scholarships away. All of these opportunities that we used to have through Title IX that was passed almost 52 years ago will be gone. And I don't understand why women keep falling for this. I think, again, it's really, and I hate bringing this stuff up, but they're just using the abortion issue as the one only issue for female voters. And they don't believe anyone else has anything else to vote for when it doesn't come for that. But we need to have women wake up. And I don't care if there's some women who are pro-choice, and I'm not going to argue with them about that. I don't agree, but that's not my problem. We can't let that be the thing that gets them to only vote for Joe Biden when they're losing literally every single other thing about being a woman with him in office.
I totally agree. And I think it actually opens up an attack vector because they're so aggressively, quote unquote, pro-female in their advertisements. And yet this is the most anti-female rewrite of federal rules imaginable, period.
Yeah.
And it has, if it wasn't for Elon Musk liberating X and Riley Gaines getting 64 million views on her Twitter, this was not news. The feminist group's like, yeah, it's fine. If you identify as one of us, you are one of us. It is the end of women. C.S. Lewis wrote the book, The Abolition of Man. We are living through the abolition of women. Thank you so much, Paula. You're excellent. Come on again soon. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Most emergencies come without warning. And when the next one comes, you won't have a second to spare on packing and preparing. You need to get ready now before an emergency strikes. Your supplies should be within reach, ready to grab and to go at a moment's notice. Secure those supplies at MyPatriotSupply.com. Start with a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Helping millions of American families prepare since 2008, My Patriot Supply are the experts in all things self-reliance. Their 4-week emergency food kit offers 2,000 calories every day, protected by heavy-duty 4-layer packaging. These kits last up to 25 years in storage. These delicious foods are sealed inside rugged buckets with handles designed to grab in a hurry. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get as many food kits as your family needs for $50 off each. They ship fast and free in unmarked boxes. Save $50 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. All right, it's very important. A few months ago, Elon Musk said that he wanted to fund lawsuits by anyone fired for their speech on X. In late March, he put his money where his mouth was by announcing a lawsuit on behalf of the woman behind the very entertaining account, Bronze Age Shotty, a woman by the name of Chloe Hupp, and she joins us right now. Chloe, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So, Chloe, tell us your story, and you are suing Jack Dorsey, so you have my support. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So back in November of last year, I was fired from my job at Block, specifically for a tweet I made that was pretty politically incorrect, and it was kind of in criticism of trans people. So the day I got fired, I posted about it on my Twitter account to all my followers, and the post went pretty viral. Everyone was tagging Elon in the post saying like, "Hey, Elon, put your money where your mouth is. This girl was fired because of a tweet." And thanks to my powerful network of friends online, I was able to get in contact with Elon. And the next day, Elon hired me a legal team to then go on to pursue a lawsuit against my ex-employer for firing me for a tweet.
So did you talk to Elon directly? And if so, what did he say?
I emailed him directly. I kind of had a mutual friend who went back and forth between us for a minute. And then Elon told my friend, "Hey, have her email me directly." So I did, and he just forwarded it to his legal team. So no, I haven't spoken with him directly yet.
So you spend a lot of time on Twitter X. Can you comment on how the platform has changed since Elon has taken over for the better, I would assume?
Yeah. I wasn't on Twitter too much during the Jack Dorsey reign, but I have noticed a significant less amount of censorship on the platform since Elon has taken over. People are getting banned less and less. You're able to say certain things you used to not be able to say. And you can definitely criticize more, I believe, now under the Elon rulership.
So I'm going to ask a question on behalf of all of our beloved boomers in the audience. Chloe, what is an e-girl?
What is an e-girl? Yes, it's a girl having fun online. I like to think that e-girls are provocative, controversial. They kind of toe the boundaries of info norms and breaking taboos. And woke capital just doesn't want a girl having fun online. I think girls should be able to have fun and be silly online. And that's what being an e-girl is all about.
Now, to connect the dots, I want our audience to understand that pushing the boundaries online is how we actually get great breakthroughs. There are previously taboo topics that were really not in the mainstream, but it would be people such as yourself and other people that start to challenge the consensus. The trans issue is a great example of this, right? We were told that this is going to be kind of like a civil rights issue. Don't oppose this. And the opposition was largely online. And now we have laws that are passed because of that. On the right, we are now basically boundary breaking every single day. And what's interesting, growing up online, it used to be a very left-wing dominated culture. So, Chloe, can you talk about that, like the e-girl type thing or the internet culture of pushing boundaries used to be very far left? It seems to have changed recently.
Yeah, definitely. I think people are just exhausted with the leftist constant policing of language, right? Because this is just a direct infringement on human rights. And I think people are tired of this. They're seeing the biological untruths behind things like transsexualism and et cetera. So I think people just want to get to the truth, right? Because what happens when you don't have guardrails on speech is that the truth is allowed to exist. And what's happening behind the scenes when guardrails on speech are put into place is that truth or facts are being obscured. Maybe free speech itself isn't always truth, but it's a route to truth, as opposed to censored speech, which is just aiming to distract and obscure. And I think this is what is pushing this online culture more right.
Can you elaborate more and more on that? Because if it wasn't for these kind of little corners of the internet that don't get mainstream attention, I don't know if we'd have the ability to, let's just say, clarify our arguments, crisply articulate opposition to the consensus, and then eventually build momentum. And I could go through topic after topic. The Ukraine war is another example, right, where the entire mainstream apparatus for a long time was demanding that we send money to Ukraine, and a lot of the opposition was happening online. And free speech isn't always true, but censorship is always meant to protect lies. And free speech allows us to ridicule what is ridiculous. Your online persona is very rooted in humor. When humorists or satirists are censored, that is the mark of a totalitarian. Can you riff on that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the tweet that got me fired was a joke. It was a politically incorrect joke. But I was poking fun at just the exceedingly woke DI HR department culture that's infiltrated the tech world and just the world itself, right? I think we all go on Twitter just to blow off steam because we're just sick of our speech being policed. And I kind of use Twitter as like a performance art sketchbook where I just have fun and post stuff and explore like this mimetic boundary with other transgressive people and info pirates. I like to think of the dissident rights sphere as we're just a bunch of like free speech info pirates.
Tell our audience, what is the dissident right? What is this thing you speak of?
Yeah, I would say it's kind of a faction of Twitter that has right-leaning views, but we don't consider ourselves traditional conservatives. There's a huge spectrum of beliefs where people fall on this. In the dissident right, I think we should be classified as dissident weirdos because we're just a bunch of weirdos. And the one thing that ties us all together is just being fed up with political correctness and the woke cultural hegemony. And we use edgy speech and thought and ideas to put that out there.
In closing here, Chloe, what is the status of your lawsuit that Elon is helping finance?
Yes. So Block has still yet to respond, but hopefully they will soon and we'll see what happens.
Chloe, thank you. And how do people follow your right-wing dissident creativity online?
Yes, I'm on Twitter as Bronze Age Shoddy, so you can find me there.
I do know the whole Bronze Age genre, and our audience, I'm not sure they do. But that's something. Chloe, keep fighting. I love your content. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I want to just comment on that understand that there's this whole world that exists, sometimes on Reddit, sometimes on the hinterlands of Twitter, where ideas that you might seem a little bit extreme, they're formulated. And then they're workshopped. And then they're introduced into these tributaries that then all of a sudden get picked up, maybe like a show like ours, or Tucker Carlson, or Jesse Waters. And it is an underappreciated dynamic of the right-wing community and movement are these online influencers that aren't necessarily trying to like have their name be popular, but they want their ideas to be popular. In fact, a lot of them operate under anonymous accounts. A lot of them will post under pseudonyms. And I have a lot of, I think this is a uniquely American thing. Remember, the Federalist Papers were written under pseudonyms. Remember, the Federalist Papers were written not under their own name. Libs of TikTok, which is one of the biggest accounts out there, started as an anon account. And it allows you to be more creative against the threat of cancellation. So I love it. So many big Trump boosters, by the way, in 2015 were anonymous. The Trump movement would not have been possible without a huge community of online boosters and supporters that could be called in the dissident right. I believe that. Anonymous speech is protected by the U.S. Constitution. No one should be fired from their job for posting what she posted. Such free speech rights need to be respected, especially from Jack Dorsey's company.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
New polling shows Donald Trump up 7 points in Arizona, 6 points in Georgia, Michigan. Right, razor's edge. And this is a Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll. Shows Biden up 2 in Michigan. Nevada, Trump +8. North Carolina, Trump +10. Pennsylvania, Trump +1. Wisconsin, Trump +4. You guys watch this show because we plainly tell you the truth. We don't do hopium. Hope and opium mixed together. It feels good, but it's bad for you. Let me first play this piece of tape, which shows that Trump is outpacing Biden in every category. And then I'm going to tell you the one attack vector that the Democrats are running. And it could work, or it could backfire, or it could plateau. It might reach a rate of diminishing return. But you cannot turn on your TV here in the state of Arizona without being propagandized on the abortion issue. First, cut 15.
Look at these numbers. Trump advantages on all of these traits.
And I stop here because competent and effective, that was President Biden's, the crux of his campaign pitch back in 2020.
And we actually polled this question in 2020, and it was basically the exact opposite. It was Biden with about a 10-point advantage over Trump. And again, same with handling a crisis. Biden had the edge over Trump. And how about this? It's the former president, the current president. We don't really see matchups like this. Well, now we can measure it. Who has the strong record as president? And again, Trump outpacing Biden on that front. And again, you got to mention this one too. Necessary mental and physical health. We asked this 4 years ago. It was a wash. It's now a clear liability for Joe Biden. So these are all troubling numbers for Biden.
We should beat him. Let's play cut 13. CNN shows that Joe Biden is far less likable than he was 4 years ago, and Trump is even more liked at 47%. Play cut 13.
In the 2020 exit polls, what do we see? 50% of voters view Joe Biden on average favorably in those states, compared to just 45% for Donald Trump. Look at the Joe Biden trend line where he is now. Joe Biden is far less like than he was 4 years ago. Just 43% of voters now view Joe Biden favorably in these states. And Donald Trump, despite everything that has happened, is actually slightly more liked. 47% favorable rating. So this isn't just the lesser of two evils that's going on. The fact is that Donald Trump is, in fact, better liked than he was 4 years ago and is better liked than Joe Biden is right now in these battleground states. It's pretty gosh darn clear.
All they have is fear-mongering on abortion. I say this as someone who's 100% pro-life. If we don't figure out this issue, this is the one issue that they might exploit. This is a Gavin Newsom-financed advertisement that is being run on television nonstop. So these advertisements are pure propaganda and manipulation, where they will say that women are bleeding out and dying because they cannot get abortions. And I'll tell you, the advertisements are powerful. If you didn't know better, you would think that Donald Trump is this craven, awful person. We need to respect that we are a pro-life party. And we have to figure out some way to navigate this issue. And I think we will. It's very clear Hollywood can't make good movies anymore, but they can make good ads. This is a good ad. It's a very powerful ad. Trump wins on the economy. Trump wins on border. Trump wins on foreign policy. It's the one issue Democrats have. The sooner we can play offense on that issue and kind of put that off at the pass, the better place we're going to be in. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.